to know that it's a pretty bumpy time right now in the world. The late Phyllis Tickle, a theologian, wrote about this and called it a hinge time, that we're in a hinge time. Now, that's a darn small word for all of this stuff happening. The good news is that it's happened before, so that's helpful. And I'm using metaphors from Craig Chelquist, who's a professor at California Institute for Integral Studies in San Francisco. He talks about the Great Mother, the earliest prehistory time being the Great Mother. And the second, then, Western history moved into the Heavenly Kingdom. Middle Ages, right? Middle Ages. And then, with the Enlightenment and all of that, we moved into what's called the big machine. And our problem right now is the big machine has run out of gas. It's rusting out. And we know it. So I want to orient you a little bit. If we have the title slide up here, that's what we want to aim toward today, the watering hole of the spirit, because that's what labyrinths are. There are many things, and I'll describe that. This is actually a beach labyrinth put in by this guy named Circle Man. And he does this, and this is a New Year's Day, and just people just turn up and walk the labyrinth on Leucadia Beach down outside of San Diego. But just to show another slide of the labyrinths, this is Unity Village, folks. This is Unity Village. Yes, you have a lovely labyrinth there. Huge. It's a huge group labyrinth. Huge. So this is us walking it, or I think this is when I was there at the conference, and that's the entrance to it. And so that is quite an awesome walk, for sure. And then the next slide, just to kind of get our feet on the ground, is this is the classical seven circuit labyrinth. Folks, this comes from the Great Mother. The Great Mother, the epoch of history. This is 4,000 to 5,000 years of age. 4,000 to 5,000. Now this is a wonderful, literally art piece that's walkable by a German woman named Marianne Eldick. And I just love this one. And I also, you know, we have this idea that labyrinths have to be really expensive and all of that, and that's not so. There's so many things you can make from for labyrinths as well. And then the next slide, which is this one, this is at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. So this is the permanent indoor one. There's also one outdoors in granite. I never, ever, ever imagined that Grace Cathedral would have two labyrinths, let alone one. Well, one, let alone two, something like that. And so this is from the Heavenly Kingdom. This is from the Middle Ages, and it's called the Medieval 11 Circuit Labyrinth. And these are two of the most popular, the classical seven circuit from the earlier time and the medieval labyrinth. This has a nickname called the Chartres Labyrinth because it's in Chartres Cathedral in France. And labyrinths have many, many names and many, many tasks in this world. One is a labyrinth orders chaos. And we seem to be in this bumpy time having a lot of that kick up. So get thee to a labyrinth if you're feeling that. It's also a walking meditation. It's a path of prayer. It's a crucible of change. It's a tool of manifestation. All of those kinds of things can happen and kick up and be present with us in the labyrinth. It's also a mindfulness meditation because it pulls us right into the moment. Are there any failed meditators in this room besides me? You know, failed meditators unite, right? And that's what it does. When you're moving your body, it quiets your mind. That's why it's such a great tool for the Western mind, you know, as the Buddhists say, the monkey mind, that it quiets as you're walking. That was really very helpful for me, really important for me. So with labyrinths and the many tasks that they can do, quieting, opening the heart, being present, mindfulness, all of this, and those who work with labyrinths have a question that they ask one another, especially when you're first meeting for the first time. And the question is, did you find the labyrinth, or did the labyrinth find you? Interesting question. And I would say that was true both for me. What was happening in my life at that time, I came to Grace Cathedral as the canon pastor in 1986. In 1987, we had the first public AIDS death, public in the sense that it wasn't secret like so many were before that. And now canon is kind of an odd title. It's a department head. There's a canon organist, right? There's a canon liturgist, right? And there's a canon pastor, which means you're pastoring the large community of Grace Cathedral. So by 1989, besides going through the Loma Prieta earthquake, we had 92 people die in our congregation. Understand that Grace Cathedral is seen as a civic church, and when you're in trouble, you come to Grace Cathedral, whether you're an official member or not. And so it was a time of great fear. It was a lot happening. The Worried Well folks, we formed a group there to do, you know, we had programs. That was what we were doing. The people who were needing support because they were going for a test that week or that month. All sorts of ways that people were under the surface, scared to death, no pun intended. One of my hearts went out to the group that we were working with parents coming to San Francisco to be with their very ill son and then later daughter. So it was a time of, just amazing angst. And I had never been surrounded by death. And for me, 4 years of working with this, I was burning out, and I also knew it wasn't my work. You know, nothing like doing something that's not your work to find out what it is. What is your work, right? And so I was going to leave Grace Cathedral. You know, just, I don't want to be there anymore. I couldn't do this. And so I had a month sabbatical, and that was my question, what's my next step? What's my next step? Anybody asking that here? Yeah, it's a really great question for a labyrinth. It's a labyrinthian question. And so I took this month and I worked with Jean Houston. Perhaps you know her name, author of many books, and a wonderful, wonderful human being. And I worked with her in 85, and I thought, gosh, it'd be great to go back and have just a weekend with Jean in what's called the Mystery School. And so I did. Port Jervis, New Jersey, going from San Francisco to this kind of cold, wintry place. And that's where her team taped on the floor a Chartres-style labyrinth, 11-circuit medieval labyrinth. Did I tell you why I use the word circuit instead of paths? A labyrinth is not a maze. It only has one path. Only has one path. And therefore, in the medieval labyrinth, that one path goes around the center 11 times in a complex spiral pattern, not a simple spiral. The classical 7-circuit labyrinth goes around how many times? and that's more based on a clear, a simple spiral. So when I walked that labyrinth, taped to the floor, you know, labyrinths don't have to be exact on everything. Sometimes people feel that. If you're going to put in an expensive labyrinth, like in Grace Cathedral, yeah, be really good to be exact. But walking this labyrinth, something happened to me. I mean, it was an anxiety-producing experience for me, and partly because there were so many people, about 120, 130 people. We couldn't see the design clearly. I couldn't see it. I didn't know it wasn't a maze. I thought it was going to get lost. You know, we have a lot of energy around getting lost, right? We really do. And it kicks up. It can kick up in the labyrinth. Why? Because the labyrinth is a mirror of the soul. It reflects back what we're feeling often. And what that did, I stayed later in the evening, I walked it 3 or 4 more times, and what happened there, it let loose on me the hound of heaven. You ever been chased down by the hound of heaven? I'll tell you, it's intense. It's intense. Remember Close Encounters of a Third Kind, that movie, right? Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss's character. And he sees, you know, this huge spaceship coming over the mountain, and it's so out of his frame of any reference and no words for it. And he's trying to communicate what happened. And so here he's at a family dinner, and he's building a mountain out of the mashed potatoes. Remember that scene? I was like that. I was like that. And there was something happening, something coming, something, some thought I could not think. It was very frustrating. Took a couple months. And that's true of labyrinth experiences. Often you don't know what happened in the moment. It takes a couple months. And I wasn't building mashed potatoes at this family table, but I was walking in my living room in a circle. In a circle, just saying, what is it? What is it? And then finally, what is it? Ah, the thought dropped in. Put the labyrinth in the cathedral. Put the labyrinth in the cathedral. My next thought was, who could do that? Oh my God. And then, oh yeah, I have a cathedral handy. Yeah. Oh, okay. And from that moment on, things galvanized. Things galvanized. Just the people I needed to meet, the books I needed to read. And a trip to Shark Cathedral. A trip to Shark Cathedral. So, and this is August of 91. Now, there was a problem going to Shark Cathedral because the labyrinth has been closed since the French Revolution. So there are chairs, even now, except Fridays. Now, during tourist season now, but there's chairs. And so we walked in, we kind of knew that because we knew it was closed. And I had time to count to 256 chairs. And then we turned around and said, let's go get some coffee and croissant. Let's just leave. We left. We left. We came back an hour later and there was a service down in the crypt. And they have very few staff there, so the staff were down at that service. And so we had the time and energy to move the chairs. No permission, which was, you know, a little uneasy producing. But we moved the chairs to walk the labyrinth. I wouldn't advise it. Please don't do that at Grace Cathedral, because you see there are chairs off the labyrinth of Grace Cathedral, indoors and outdoors. And, you know, cathedrals are moody places. I mean, they carry moods with them. If you're having a wedding, there's a feeling of a festival. It's just fabulous. If you're having a funeral, there's a somber feeling throughout. Well, when we walked the labyrinth, and there was a little kind of band of 6 of us from Grace Cathedral to do this and move the chairs, and there was a feeling of joy. A feeling of joy. It's like someone had taken stardust and just tossed it into the air. It was a golden moment. And it lasted all throughout our walk. And then, after that, there's all sorts of things I'm skipping over, but it really did confirm that we should go ahead with the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral. And so that's what we did. That's what we did. Now, in that, we didn't have a labyrinth to introduce to people, but here we are, 5 of the 6. 6 of us included the dean, and he's not down on his hands and knees with us, but the other 5 of us were down on our hands and knees painting a canvas labyrinth. And then that we introduced people to the cathedral. Grace Cathedral considers themselves a community of communities. And so we went to each community, you know, the altar guild and the men's group and the women's, all of that, to introduce it. But we introduced it kind of slowly and quietly. And luckily, and this is how it happens, as you well know, into my life floats this invitation to do a workshop in Crystal City, Virginia. And I thought, perfect, you know, because why? If you're going to do something really crazy making and like people are going to raise their eyebrows, because that was the phrase, now what is she doing, was around Grace Cathedral when I was doing this work. But what you do, you go as far away from home as possible. It worked. It was okay, you know. And it was an amazing experience. I learned tons because it was the first time ever opening it and teaching people how to walk the labyrinth. So after that, we came back and we were going to open the labyrinth. I mean, it's like, okay, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to introduce it? And we decided we were going to open the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral for New Year's Eve. And we had an event there called Singing for Your Life with Bobby McFerrin. It was the second year of that. And the first year we were opening the labyrinth in 1991. And kind of like, wow, oh my heavens, hard to imagine. We had the canvas, we were moving into the cathedral, and Don Lantin, the then religious editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, came and kind of interviewed people, and he didn't walk it, you know, objectivity and all that, but he talked with people who walked it, and this was just a kind of little trial run down in the parish hall. And he was going to write an article and announce the opening of the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral. Well, I called him and said, Don, don't print it. And he says, too late. It'll be in Friday's paper, December 19th. So I remember getting up that Friday, feeling kind of a little dread in the bottom of my stomach, going and getting the Chronicle and opening it up. And here it is, picture of the labyrinth, a path to enlightenment. It's like, oh, is that what I'm doing? Is that what it is? My heavens, I'll sign up for that. And I remember saying that out loud. Wow, I'll sign up for that. You see, one of the important things that happens with a labyrinth, for many of us, and I know there's a number of creative intuitives in this room. We probably wouldn't be here if we weren't. That you just kind of keep doing what feels right, what your senses are, what needs to happen. You just keep moving and moving in that way. And so I'm putting this in words now, 20 years later, but I didn't have the words in those days. I didn't know what I was doing. There's this wonderful quote I saw in the back of a church. Please excuse the inefficiency of my work. The nature of it requires such a high degree of complexity that I simply don't know what I'm doing. And it's true. It was true all the way along. I'd love to say, oh, yeah, I really got this all figured out. No, because it doesn't happen that way. And I think that's one of the really important things about the labyrinth, is that truly all deep spiritual teachings, all deep wisdom is always given indirectly. It's indirect. It's by metaphor. And that's what happens when you're walking a labyrinth. You know, the turns on life are the turns in the labyrinth. Sometimes people come and say, I hate those turns. I hate them. And in the Chartres labyrinth, there's 28 of them, 180-degree turns. And then you'll say, well, are you on a turn in your life? And they go, oh, yeah. You see, there's it's a reflective mirror in some way as well. So after all of this, it was wonderful. We had a great opening. 5,000, maybe 6,000 people came. They stood in a line for how many hours? I kept saying, hey, you know, going downstairs, there's other things to do. Mm-mm. And then I realized that watching, witnessing people walk the labyrinth is very and deeply nourishing and nurturing. Now, don't forget, though, too, you probably know that San Francisco is a huge costume night on New Year's Eve. And I'm one of the 5,000 people who got to see Maria Antoinette, Liberace, and Elvis Presley walk the labyrinth together. It was really a treat. It was really quite something. So all these years of working with the labyrinth, introducing people to it, and having the labyrinth out in the world, there's about, on our labyrinth locator, there's 7,900 labyrinths listed now. And that's a really handy tool. There's a website out there, Labyrinth Locator. You can find one anywhere that you're going on vacation or whatever. But I've always stayed with that it works, that the labyrinth works. And when you talk about a labyrinth working, what does that mean? It means you do enter into a portal of quiet, of openness. You can work with inner symbols. You can do dream work in the labyrinth. There's so much that happens and can happen in the labyrinth. I have a couple stories here, and I like to read these in people's own words because they're not my words. This one person said, "I believe I experienced healing in Grace Cathedral. After almost 10 years of not speaking to my family because of childhood wounds, they had no idea where I was living. I was able to reestablish contact with my mother this spring. The voice came from my heart that I should do this. How could I not obey?" Interesting, isn't it? Another came to Singing for Your Life. Actually, I came to San Francisco to specifically spend New Year's at Grace Cathedral and walk the labyrinth. One of the good things about being late in writing this thank you is that I can actually see changes in my life in the last 6 months. I had made a list as I sat in the church pew, not so much New Year's resolutions as bad habits I wished I could let go of. It surprised me to read that list again tonight. There's been some serious progress on just about everything I listed, in spite of the fact that I forgot about most of them. Interesting. Now, a lot of us are kind of, refugees is too strong a word, but a lot of us have come from other traditions. A lot of times because the traditions really don't feed our soul, or that we feel scolded, or that we feel like, you know, we're not worthy because of the teachings. So here's one story that I really like to read. In addition, my reflections reminded me that I've never received life as being on a path. I think Unity really understands life as a path. Instead, it was like I had held against a measuring stick, like I had been held against a measuring stick. And certainly, it would never have been on a path to center. Center would have seemed bad or evil and would have needed to be avoided so I could follow external measurements of how I was doing. Those measurements would determine my worth, how I measured up. As you can see, the insights from my walks are gifts to carry with me as I continue my journey. So the sense that the labyrinth, it's unique to each person. The beauty of the metaphor of the path, the way, that you're walking it, and that's metaphoric. I love Marion Woodman's definition of metaphor. Metaphor unites, yokes together, spirit and matter. Spirit and matter. Think of this. She's a peach. He's a prince. You see, it says more. It says more. And so you're in a metaphoric mind when you're walking the labyrinth. And when you're there in that liminal realm, that world in between, then things happen. That's where transformation happens. So remember I left you with the big machine, right? And I want to go back to one photograph, and the ending photograph, because the big machine is now producing labyrinths. The problem with the big machine era that we're in is that unfortunately we've been told that life does not have a purpose. Can you imagine that our lives don't have a purpose? Good heavens. that we're not here to express love, joy, connection, hope, longing, yearning for what we can be truly. And so the vision of where we're going, I think, it has many names. Phyllis Tickle called it the Great Emergence. Wonderful Joanna Macy called it the Great Turning. I like that because in the labyrinth you do turns, right? And there's so many different names. This New Story, Thomas Berry. And then Joseph Campbell, this is Earthrise. And I think Earthrise is where we're going. Earthrise is what we're talking about here, divine oneness, connection, open your heart in love, allowing yourself to be present with one another and feel connected and search for that connection. Earthrise. We need a new vision. We need a new vision. And I think Earthrise is it. Now, it's important to realize, and this is one of the major benefits that I think you have in the Unity community, is that as we move into Earthrise, we're basing a lot of our new understanding on new science. And it's quantum physics, folks. It's no longer empirical science. You know, can't count it, can't prove it, can't see it, doesn't exist. That's the old model. The new model is that we are united and connected by an energetic field that we can't see, but we can feel. And you see, it's everywhere. But what the labyrinth does, it's a temenos. It intensifies the quantum field. So that's why you can walk in with your heart's yearning, your tears from a great loss, your hopes for a dream that we sang about earlier. That when you're in this quantum field, and again, chaos is only uncommitted energy. But when you commit that energy, when you are there prayerfully, thoughtfully, with an open heart, your heart becomes the magnet for your next step. Your heart becomes the magnet for the future. That's why the labyrinth is a watering hole for the spirit. So, yeah. Thank you.